You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, relationships are important for many reasons. For example, they're important for communication, for encouragement, for assistance from others, and so on. Let me give you a couple practical examples here. If I need something hauled, and I am blessed to have a relationship with someone who has a pickup truck, wow, then I can get my thing hauled. Or another example, certainly I desperately need my sins forgiven, so I am blessed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ who took away the sin of the world. So relationships are important. Last week we focused on abiding in Jesus. That was the first part of John chapter 15. He being the vine, us being the branches, being properly united to him, then there will be fruit that is born in our lives. Today we continue in John chapter 15, more aspects about the vine-branches relationship as we focus on the topic of love. Let's go back to there now as we go to verse 9 of John chapter 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." So Jesus talked about how love goes from one person to another. So he said, love came from the Father to me, now from me to you, and ultimately going on from you to others. So it's kind of a chain reaction in a sense. Jesus also talked about a parallel there. So he basically said, the Father loves me because of the action I'm taking in order to take away the sin of the world. So Jesus said to his disciples, I love you because of the action that you're going to take in order to go out into the world and tell other people who I am and what I have done for them to take away the sin of the world. What about for us now? How do we abide in Jesus? We abide in Jesus by helping others know who he is, the Son of God, and what he did, taking away the sin of the world. And then Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Think about this contrast. So we have to think about the reality of who we were before we knew Jesus Christ, before we were in relationship with him. So before that time, we were in sin, we were spiritually dead, we were condemned to eternal punishment. But then God took action, even as he did today for David. So God the Father took action by his Spirit through the water and the Word in order to bring David into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So over here with the first situation, it was horrible now and forever. Over here, after what God has done, now it is wonderful, now and forever. God wants us to see that very sharp contrast. How do we respond to that? The Bible says that God first loved us. He loved us in Christ. So now responding to that, we should be so filled with thanksgiving toward God and love toward God that now we want to keep believing in him, keep following him, keep serving him, and so on. Is that all going to be imperfect? It will be, but that's the desire of that new nature that God has given us in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said in verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. What is this joy of Jesus? The joy of Jesus is him knowing that we have the gift of forgiveness and that we're going to be with him forever. What is our joy? Knowing that we are forgiven and that we're going to be with him forever. And then how is our joy, though, made full? Because even though we know we are forgiven and we know we're going to be with God, we're lacking joy because we know other people who do not yet know Jesus Christ. So the way our joy is made full is when we share with others who Jesus is and what he has done, and especially when the Holy Spirit brings those people to faith in Jesus Christ. And not only is that a great blessing to the other people, but then we are filled with great joy. God wants that for all of us. Jesus went on and said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Love is a pretty common term, especially in America. So love is a broad and a wonderful reality, but I think, though, that love is oftentimes misunderstood. So let me talk for a moment here about true love and false love. When I tell you what true love is, I don't think we have much of it in the world today, but a lot of people think they have love when maybe they don't. But consider what true love is. True love is taking sacrificial action in order to help someone else according to his need. And then further, true love is not expecting anything in return. So here's a person, he's in need. I have no obligation to help him, but I'm going to give up of myself. I'm going to go through various difficulties, sacrificing in order to help him. So I'm going to do it only because he has the need. Am I going to do it? And I'm going to expect nothing in return, not even a thank you. That's true love. But what kind of love do we see in the world today? Typically, we might call it a false love. A false love is when someone merely says to someone else, "I love you," but there's not combined with that the actions, the sacrificial actions of true love. Another way we have false love is when people take selfish action towards someone else, and they do it not to help the person, but they do it hoping to get something from the person. That's more the kind of love we have in the world today, but that is not love. That's not the kind of love that God has for us. That's not the kind of love that God wants us to show to others. So there's a huge difference between true love and false love. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So that would be the ultimate sacrifice, wouldn't it? So you have one person, and he voluntarily gives up his life in order that some other person can continue to live. When one person does that for someone that he knows, that is extraordinary. But what about what Jesus did, though? Think about Jesus' sacrifice. He gave up his life for people who, in general, were denying him, were opposed to him, and even who hated him. But yet, he did it anyway. See, that's true love. It didn't matter about us because he is God, because he is love. He did it anyway. It was all about who he is. It wasn't about who we are. But he did it anyway, though, and why did he do it? He did it in order that by God's grace, we might become his friends and we might be blessed forever and ever. So what about this idea of being friends of Jesus? I think when we hear that, we oftentimes say, "Oh, that's a nice thing, friends with Jesus." So we like reach up, we grab a hold of Jesus, and we pull him down into our existence. That's not what it means to be a friend of Jesus. Rather, he's the one who chooses us. He called us to be his friends. So what he does is he reaches down to us and he elevates us up to that high honor and status of being friends of Jesus Christ, who is the very Son of God. So let's treasure our friendship with him, and let's realize what a high status we have to be friends of God's very Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said in verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Imagine a situation where you have a master and you have servants. You can imagine that each servant kind of has his or her own little task that they do, but they really don't know what's going on with the master. They don't know what the big picture is. They just know like their own little thing. What has God done for us through his word? He has let us in on the big picture. So he wants us to know and remember that he created all things. He wants us to know that Adam and Eve fell into sin, and when they did, it pulled everyone else down with them. He wants us to know that he loved us and sent his son who did his finished and saving work. God wants us to know that it is vital for everyone to be clothed in Jesus Christ. It is vital for everyone to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants us to know that even now, Jesus has ascended. And where is he? What is he doing? He's reigning over all things for the good of those who trust in him. And then he wants us to know that he will come again on the appointed day. That's the big picture. He's let us in on all of that. So we know what the big picture is because we are his friends. And he wants us to see where we're at on this timeline and how he wants to work in our lives and use us to be a part of this big picture. We are so blessed to be his friends now and to be the brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever, again, through knowing Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." What was our problem? What was David's problem? Some minutes ago, we were all dead in our sins. To enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that would be a spiritual action, but if we are spiritually dead, we can't make a spiritual action. So God had to come to us, God had to choose us, God had to make us his own, and that's exactly what God did for David not very long ago. So as we think about what Jesus said here about bearing fruit, he wants us to remember from last week now that Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and it's very important that we abide in him, that we continue in him. And how does that happen, though? That happens as God keeps us in Christ. And how does God do that? He does that as he continues to work through word and sacrament to nourish us and strengthen us and keep us. And then what happens is that from this connection, then, there will be fruit in our lives. As we talked about last week, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on. Finally, Jesus said, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." So what has he commanded us even today? He said, "Abide in my love." What does that mean? He's saying, continue in that saving relationship with me. And God is the one who does that, again, through word and sacrament. Jesus said, "Bear fruit." In other words, he's saying, continue to live for me. And again, as we focus here, he wants us to know that the fruit will come. We don't have to grunt and groan. Focus here, and the fruit will come naturally. Finally, Jesus said, "Love one another." What does he mean by that? He means to pay attention to other people and show true love to them. So what is that true love? True love is seeing the need, taking sacrificial action to help with the need, and expecting nothing in return. It's good to do that when there is a physical need. It's even much better to do it when there is a spiritual need. If someone is thirsty and we give them a drink of water and don't even expect a thank you, that's nice, we should do that. But if someone is without Jesus Christ and we kindly help them know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he did a finished work and that through him there is forgiveness, life, and salvation, that's even a much greater thing to be able to share with people, a much greater way to show them true love. May God help us to rejoice that he has so worked in our lives to bring us into relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And may God help us to be diligent in using word and sacrament, knowing that God will work through such things. God will keep us in Jesus. God will assure us that we are forgiven. And God will use us in our lives until finally we are with him forever. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, help us to ever continue in Jesus. Help us to ever bear much fruit. And help us to show true love for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.